Plus, it gives the district the opportunity to revisit where we're at with enrollment. So we'll go over some of those details as well. Where we anticipate are what's known as P2, which is the next measurement period for student average daily attendance, which is actually next Friday is our cutoff, the 20th. And then it's our look ahead. So we start to project out what our out years are going to be based on this information from the governor. One thing to note, from now all the way through June, things can change again. The state budget committees are working very closely. They're looking at all this information that the governor proposed, how one-time monies that he's proposing is going to be used. The cost of living adjustment is also an area they've been focusing on. So a lot can change come May when the governor updates the budget. The other factor, as Dr. Janney opened up the message this evening regarding the coronavirus, this state is very much so dependent on capital gains and the financial market. So even as of this morning, things didn't start off very well with the financial market as an example. They had to stop the trades 5 minutes in. It's known as a circuit breaker because the stocks had dropped about 7%. So they paused trading for about 15 minutes. So I'm highlighting that because this is an area that we all need to be mindful of. I know the Department of Finance at the state level is going to be monitoring this closely because of such volatility in the stock market is going to have an impact on capital gains. And what is that going to have an impact on the 2021 budget? It depends how long this plays out as well, so what that magnitude might be. So I'm just highlighting that because when we're asked the questions why our numbers change, it's because this information is always moving, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level. So a lot is going to still transpire from now until June, okay? So this next slide is just providing a snapshot of where we were at with first interim, gives you the visual of we look at data or actuals through October 31st for first interim. Now what we're presenting to you for second interim is actuals through January 31st. And then looking ahead. And then our third interim we'll be bringing forward to you in May, which will look at our actuals through April. Again, tracking the actuals is important because how we end the year is what's also going to roll into our beginning balance for next year.
Dr. Salkeld, could you just elaborate a little bit more about what that means from July to October 31st for first interim, and then from July to January 31st for second interim? What does it mean about truing up to actuals? What does that look like?
So we start to look at trends. We look at our salary expenditures. We see how things are aligning to the budget, things that are between restricted funding sources or unrestricted funding sources, reclassing expenditures, looking at just how costs on the supplies are looking like, looking at the contracted costs, where are things coming up. Then we make an evaluation. How are we doing? Do we need to increase the budget? Do we need to decrease the budget? An example is like on the revenue side of things. For the second interim, we looked at all of our actuals. If our budget was lower than the actuals, then we increased the budget because now we know that that's a number that has occurred. It's posted to our book. So let's say it's $100,000 revenues. We had a budget of $50,000, so we increase that to match. Or we make slight adjustments, knowing what the trend might be at the end of the year. An area we'll highlight when we get to some of the slides, like on our capital funds, our interest at the county pool is coming in higher than what we anticipated. So we trued it up. We adjusted to our actual. So it gives us a pattern, an idea of how those are coming about. Okay. So the next few sections are basically what I call the building blocks to looking at the budget, revisiting it. And again, it's a live working document throughout the year. But one area that I'd like to highlight here is enrollment, because this is what any of those who've been in meetings with me, I always say is our bread and butter. This is where we get our money. This is when I've heard over the last few weeks, where did the money go? Where are the revenues coming from? I can point to this specific slide. This district has lost a lot of students over the course of the last few years. I know that during first interim, I shared that we had lost, estimated at that point in time, the size of one of our small high schools. what I'd like to point out here, when I look at the end of what was known as RP2 a year ago, which is the measurement period when we lock in that student average daily attendance and enrollment, that becomes the funding basis for this year. So a year ago, the way the LCFF calculator works, and we'll share on the next slide, it gives you last, you're always 1 year in arrears. So you're into the current year. So 19-20, we're getting paid on the 18-19 information. So when we ended a year ago, we had 39,127 students. When we started to do our budget work, we started to see that trend, you know, from year to year. We built the budget at 38,807. Around when we brought that May revision, or the October revision, it was 38,807. Mm-hmm. During that same month, there's the census day, which they call the seabed day. It's the first Wednesday of October. It takes a snapshot of our student census. That number is what gets filed to the state under what we know as CalPADS. That's that point in time, on that first Wednesday of October, our student enrollment was 38,553. Again, that was the latest information we had when we came forward to the board in December for first interim. Said, this is what we have, this is what it's tying to, here's our source document. As we continued to review that information through December, and then the start of the second semester into January, our student enrollment further decreased. So what we're presenting to the board for second interim, and where we're anticipating next week for that P2 to lock in, is 38,139. So in just 1 year alone, we've lost about 1,000 students. If you take that and just on average between the grade span monies, it's a little bit different between 7, 8, and then 9 to 12, but just average about $10,000. That's about $10 million that this district has lost. And that compounds year after year. So when you look at that historical trend, and now when you're seeing that downward trajectory, and some of these things we can control, but some of these things we can't. A lot of the data that we're seeing, some of the students are going to charter schools, some of the items as it relates to other districts up and down the state, decline in enrollment, because a lot of families are moving out of state for the cost of living piece of it. And then also some are moving out of the country. So this is having a significant impact on the district's revenue this year and then next year. You're going to see on the next slide how these numbers change from first interim to second interim based on the newest information we have with enrollment. So I can't stress enough on this piece here where the district has lost money has been the revenues haven't come to the district because of loss of students. This next slide, it just simply highlights that, declining enrollment, it only delays funding. Like I mentioned earlier, it's just we're always 1 year in arrears. But when we're having to plan for staffing, we have to look at that year, that enrollment, those projections. So we may have revenue from a prior year, but you have to look at the staffing costs for that given year. And Dr. Jenny will touch upon that in a little bit, how the staffing allocations were implemented for 2021. So this next slide is how the district gets the money. It's through the local control funding formula, LCFF. This particular, you'll hear me say calculator. This calculator is actually prepared by FICMAT. FICMAT releases a calculator periodically throughout the year, particularly after new information is issued, such as the governor's budget. So once that was made available in January, we pulled that data file, that calculator, and started to work and input our assumptions that we're aware of. The key factor at that point in time was, and if you go down to the bottom where it's in green, the cost of living adjustment that I mentioned earlier, that is the factor included in the governor's budget in January. That went from 3% back in the approved proposal back in June, it went down to 2.29. Just that change in the percentage at the state level equates to the district about $4.5 million. That was the information I shared during the budget workshops where we had anticipated a shortfall of about $26 million. That immediately jumped up the district's shortfall to about $30 million. And that was just based on that, those kind of variables coming into play. Then, you know, based on the average daily attendance that we're looking at for now for 2021 and into the next year, you can see that our revenue projections from first interim, the 2021, has gone down from $402 million to $396 million. And then when you look at 21-22, $408 million to $400 million. And this is where you hear me say the compounding effect. When things start 1 year, then it rolls into the next year due to a lot of these changes. As I mentioned earlier, the State Budget Committee is looking at the cost of living adjustment. However, that formula is based on the federal implicit price deflator. So the only thing that I think from the conversations that are being had at the state level is whether or not the state legislature would backfill that percentage because there are various factors that go into that price deflator because it looks at goods and services. There's the consumer price index, there's the producer price index, there's the GDP, the gross domestic product. So there's a lot of federal factors that go into that amount. But that certainly could change come May revise, but that's something we'll have to await. It could always go down. That's always the risk. If it goes up, it'll just also help us with that projected shortfall. Okay. The other thing that you note here, I know it's been